This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
I think last week we did more of an introduction of what work ethics is, and I kind of tried to define the approach I wanted to adopt, you know, to this, because every workplace has their own, you know, work ethics. They have their own standards, and but looking at it from the scriptural, you know, standpoint, we have a value system that has universal application, and that's one good thing about, you know, the Bible. It's not something that is restricted or limited to any, you know, to any place. I think one key scripture we looked at, you know, last week was Colossians 3, verse 17, that says that whatever we do, in word or in deed, we should do what? Do it in the name of the Lord. We should do it in His name. And in looking at it that way, it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, you know, you should do it in the name of the Lord. And we understood that doing it in the name of the Lord, it's not just doing something and appending the name of Jesus on top. Mm-hmm. You get it? It means doing it in His authority. Mm-hmm. And we cannot walk in authority except we come under authority ourselves. And it also means to do it according to the character of Christ. You know, and we do it the way He Himself will do it. Do it in a way that shows forth His own glory. You know, and that's really important. And then this morning, I think maybe I should start with this scripture, actually, which really caught my eye this morning. We are sharing that at home, you know, this morning. That's in Daniel, you know, the book of Daniel. Shall we turn to Daniel, please? Daniel is after Ezekiel. Just make it quick for us. Okay. Very interesting verse, passage there. I'll read verse 3 and 4. It says, and the king, now this was about, you know, when the Babylonians had invaded Judah, yes, and took many of them captive. And the king spake unto Athenas, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Children in whom, now watch the qualification of these people that were taken, okay? Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. Now, excuse me, does anybody have NIV here? Any NIV? NIV? Okay, quickly. Let me read it for me. I really love the presentation. In NIV, it makes it, you know, come a bit more alive. You know, verse 3 again. It said, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court, officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without physical defect. You get that? Handsome, like me, okay? Excuse me. Okay. Handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning. Amazing. Well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Wow. Not only should they be without physical defect, not only should they be handsome, well-informed, very knowledgeable, quick to understand, very brilliant, young people, but they should be qualified to serve in the king's palace. And that was the one that really caught my eye, and I began to ask. I said, excuse me. So, having had all those things, being of the seed of the kings, yes, being from the royal family, of the being children born into nobility, wasn't even enough. Mm-hmm. Being very smart upstairs isn't enough. Being very handsome, physically perfect like Barbie, you know, wasn't enough. They also have to be qualified to serve in the king's palace. So what qualifies somebody above all these things here to serve in the king's palace? You know, what qualifies them? I see some hands going up there. You know, what qualifies them to serve in the king's palace? Now, this is a question I think we should really, you know, bother ourselves with, you know, right now. Because the Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And every place the Lord puts us to labor for him, guess what? He is king in that place. And if we are called to serve as believers, we should serve in a manner that qualifies the service that will be rendered in the king's palace. Because everywhere we serve is the king's palace. It's the palace of God. Think of it. The Bible says that our body is the temple of God. Amen. That's amazing. So everywhere I go, the glory of God and his kingdom is there. And every place that he has allocated to us, say the lines are falling onto us in pleasant places. I'll have a goodly heritage. Even that work you are complaining about is too hard, it's too this, it's too that. You're not earning enough and all that. God's kingdom is in that place. And we should serve, you know, in a manner that really, you know, qualifies us, you know. Let's be qualified for that job that we are doing. I'm not talking about the degrees you have. Maybe you have a double PhD and you're serving in a place that you need only O levels to serve. That's not what I'm talking about. But to serve in such a way, as Colossians 3:17 says, in the name of the Lord, you know, under his authority and in his character. In a way that qualifies us in those ways. So to serve in the king's palace, of course, I mean, you talk about, you know, the way you comport yourself. You know, there are some very smart people, very brilliant people, you know, very handsome, very everything, and very rich as well. But the way they talk on the street is not dignifying. Or the way they even relate to people under or above them or beside them is not dignifying. Or people who live a life and serve with dignity. You know, now, when it comes to children's ministry, look at, you know, ministries all over the world. One of the ministries that many people don't want to go to is the children's ministry. In some cases, like a thankless job. Okay. And, you know, it's true. You go to some places, like, you know, I was ministering somewhere. I was going to teach somewhere in France. And the pastor there couldn't wait. He said he wanted to wait and see who this person is. A man in the children's ministry. What is he doing there? Thank God that he had that curiosity. That was what made him to attend the sessions. You know, but after attending the session, he became converted. But there's something some people have said. That just listening, he said, look, just the way you talk about this, it will make everybody want to do it. So that which seems to be like nothing, when you do it with dignity, the value it adds to anything is the value it has. Yes. You get that? So even that job that we're doing, like a young man who was looking for a job, and he got to a place and he said, look, the man said, look, we don't have any job here. It's only a typist, you know, job that we have. The man said, I will do it. Highly qualified fellow. Say, I will do it. He said, but I will not be ready, you know, until 1 week. And I said, okay, no problem. And he went away for a week. And you know what he did? He bought himself a typewriter. And he practiced. And he came back and he, out of curiosity, why were you not ready? He said, look, I didn't know how to type, so he had to go and learn to type to be able to do that very job. You know, and he became a very, very prominent man and very wealthy, one of the most richest people that ever lived in this land. So, you know, when we come with that sort of attitude that we are serving in the king's palace, let's serve in a qualified way. Amen. Okay, let's move very quickly. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 and 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2 Hallelujah. You know, the Bible is so interesting, you know. When it comes to the New Testament, you arrange all the T's, all the books starting with T's, you put all of them together to make it, you know, really interesting. So after Colossians, you have Thessalonians, you know, and then you have Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15 says what? Study, isn't it? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now verse 24, you know, says, and the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And look at that verse 15 again. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To prepare ourselves, to equip ourselves. You know, a lot of us get into trouble in our places of work. Or the work we are really doing becomes boring or is not productive because of lack of preparation. We avoid, the very tough things that needs to be done. You know, like the story of this young man called Jimmy, who had trouble pronouncing the letter R. You know, so his teacher gave him a sentence to practice at home. Robert gave Richard a rap in the rib for roasting the rabbit so rare. That's a good one. You want to try it out? Robert. Come on. Robert. Gave Richard a rap in the rib for roasting the rabbit so rare. Now, he was given some days to practice this. I mean, you think it's very easy. You know? And, you know, later on, the teacher asked, you know, the student to repeat, you know, what he had learned. And he went off. He said, Bob gave Dick a poke in the side for not cooking the bunny enough. Was that what he was given?
No.
Now, why do you think he did that?
It was easier for him.
It was easier. So he had completely avoided the R.
Yeah.
Remember what you said, you know, and many of us as believers do it. We avoid that word R. We stand for readiness. Being ready to serve. Being ready to serve diligently. Being ready to serve in the king's palace. We don't make ourselves ready for that. Rather, we make excuses. After all, this is not my father's job. You know? Come on, you, why are you killing yourself? You know? I can't wait to go home. We are walking and watching the clock. You know, and the rest of it, you know, the thief of time.
Yes.
You know, how we rob our employers and the rest of it. You know, avoiding readiness. Avoiding it, you know, completely. But something that we must be very, you know, conscious of is the need to be needed. Now, I'm going to explain this so we don't misunderstand it. The need to be needed will influence our attitude to work. You know? I don't want to... You know, when you say that so many things is about our attitude, it's a thing of the mind. Sometimes it's as if we are overusing that word. It becomes like a kind of, you know, cliche, but it's not. The attitude is so important. You know the old proverb that says, you know, you get a bucket of water. Yeah? You dip your hand into it. When you take your hand out, you know the hole that is left. Hello? Maybe I should have brought a bowl of water here, you know, to experiment this. You dip your hand into a bucket of water and you take it out. There's a big hole left, isn't it? Wouldn't there be? That's how much you've been missed when you're not there anymore. You are getting puzzled. There will be no hole left. Okay. There will be no hole left. And sadly, that will be the testimony of many people. That when they've lived their life and gone, there will be no notice that they ever lived. There will be no notice that they ever lived. So, proper, you know, scriptural work ethics say we should do what? Do everything we do as unto the Lord. And when the Lord comes into any place, his stamp is left in that place. If it's ushering that I've been given to do, I should usher in such a way that the day I'm not there, even if another usher is there, they say, this one doesn't do it quite like Chooks does it. You get my point? And that's really the key point here. We should serve in such a way that, you know, we actually need it. That when you're not there, your presence will be missed. Your presence will be missed. Have you been in a situation where maybe you want to change jobs? You tell your boss that you are leaving and they say, don't go. We'll pay you extra. We'll add to your salary. We'll change whatever condition to keep you. Anybody been there before? I've experienced it twice. Do you get that? Serve in a way that, you know, you will be needed, you know, in the place. And when I say needed, it's not a case of doing it and keeping the knowledge to yourself that nobody else knows it. In fact, the more you teach people, the more you share it, we shouldn't have the mentality of the world. I say, you know, you have to ride on other people's shoulder to get to the top. And that's why when they get to the top, they say the top is lonely. It will be lonely when you get there on your own. But when you train other people and carry them along, when you get to the top, you have people to share the top with. And it will become really exciting. There was a young man, a doctor, who was working in a city, and the father visited him from the, you know, a rural place. And the father asked him, you know, how are things, you know, how are you getting along? He said, not really good, not good. Not good that things are not really going fine. The father was disappointed that things were not going fine. You know what happened? The following day, the father went to him, to his dispensary, to his clinic where he was working. And for that day, he saw, you know, the man sat quietly. The man is a doctor as well. And he sat quietly. It's the son who is a doctor. The man himself is not a doctor. And he sat down there all day, saying nothing in the clinic, watching the son attend to his clients. 25 poor people came through that didn't have anything to pay. And the service was for free. 25 people. And at the end of the clinic, as the door shut, the father jumped up in excitement and said to him, he said, nothing is happening. He said, Daddy, 25 people I've seen, there's no money, it's all for free. There's really no money in this thing. And the father said, come off it. It's not about money. He said, there isn't any money in it. The son objected. Then the father said, money? What is money compared with being useful to your fellow men? What is money compared to you being useful to your fellow men? You might have heard about the sympathetic Jew. Anybody? The sympathetic Jew. A man visited the Tiffany's jewelry in New York City. There he saw different shapes and sizes of, you know, precious, you know, stones, diamonds, gleaming, you know, all of them were there. But then he observed one stone that was perfectly lustreless. He has no sheen to it, nothing, just completely boring. You know, there was no beauty about this very stone. Then the friend, you know, who was, you know, with him, and he said, look, what is this stone? What is he doing here? He has no sheen, no value, no nothing, no color. Then the friend took that very stone in his hand, in his own palm, and held the stone for a while. For a few minutes. And when he opened his hands, that was a pleasant surprise. Big surprise. There was no part of that very stone that did not gleam with splendor. The colors of the rainbow were all displayed. Not a pin-shaped size of anything on that stone that was not radiating so much beauty. And the friend was amazed and said, what did you do to that very stone? What did you do? Why did it change? He said, nothing. That's sympathetic. That's why it's called sympathetic jewel. It's the opal. It's called a sympathetic jewel because left on its own, it's completely lustreless. All it needs is somebody holding it in the air. So in our own attitude to our own work, being useful to other people, making contact with people, making an investment in other people's life is what the Lord has called us to do in our places of work. And as we reach out to other people, the beauty that is in them will come out. The passage we read, Isaiah 61, is such a beautiful passage for missions. We are transformed to impact other people's lives. When you read on that very passage, Isaiah 61, you see what God really has in store in our lives and in our communities, that we have to reach out to other people. So when we serve, We serve in such a way that brings value, that adds value to other people's lives and to what we are doing. That is how we can make the character of Christ manifest wherever we are serving. That's how it goes. Are we still talking about work ethics? I'm having to really skip quite a few things, you know, because of time, you know, pressure. There was another young man who was given, you know, who was called, you know, to go and serve amongst his fellow countrymen, you know, a Burmese boatman, you know, who was there serving in the U.S. working, and he was earning so much money, and then he was called to go and serve amongst his fellow countrymen. And if he should do that, he'd be earning less than a fourth of his salary, what he was earning. You know what he said? He said, "I will not go for that pay, but I will go for Christ." Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. "I will not go for that pay, but I will go for Christ." In other words, what are you serving for? Especially when it comes, you know, to the body of Christ, you know that fame is not really what we keep, you know, doesn't stand up, you know, before God. You know, what are we serving for? You know, you can be in your workplace. I'd be wondering, why am I in this place? And we begin to question, why am I in this place? And you're asking, why am I in this place? You are thinking more about career progression. Why am I in this place? You are thinking more about the salary you are getting in that very place. Why am I in this place? Because you have a bossy boss. You know, why am I in this place? When the question is taking you along that very line, guess what? It will lead to frustration. But when you look at it and say, "Lord, what purpose of yours do you want me to serve in this place?" Then that will make a whole difference. It will make the burden lighter. You know why why the burden of serving in that place becomes lighter? Because it's no longer the burden of that work you are carrying. It's no longer your own yoke you are carrying. You're actually yoked with Christ.
Amen.
He said, "My burden is light and my yoke is easy." So when we take on his own burden for where we are serving, that work in that very place becomes an easy job. There's no work that is particularly too difficult. So we need to serve, you know, with the right attitude, you know, in that very place. We need to serve and really serve right. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Just a few more points, and I will now touch on what I said I was going to touch on last week. Again, I've been talking about our attitude, which also affects our motive for service, isn't it? That was a nice story. With this one, I think I would then switch to, you know, where I left, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about. There was an Egyptian architect who was commissioned by one of the pharaohs, you know, to build a lighthouse at the mouth of the Nile. You know, and so on a piece of rock, you know, he duly, you know, erected the, you know, the lighthouse. And the name of this man was, I don't know how to pronounce it. I'll call it as Cnidus, whatever, Cnidus. And it was really nice. And the name of the pharaoh was engraved on the plaster of the lighthouse. But over the years, with the waves, the tides coming in and all that, and the plaster was battered and, you know, started peeling off. Yeah? Started peeling off. When the plaster peeled off, guess what was revealed? The man had engraved his own name on the motor of the lighthouse. I don't know what you would make of such a conduct. What was his motive? Self-honor. Isn't it? Self-honor. And when you put self-honor in your... It becomes an issue for you in your service. You will never serve right. You will never, never serve right. Never will you be able to serve right. We should, you know, really, you know, give ourselves, you know, to serving. You know, like the brilliant young man, you know, with magnetic personality, who went out to the mission field. His salary in the mission field was pittance. And because he was a very brilliant guy, well-known, different commercial firms were offering him big salaries to attract him to serve, to work for them. And I tell you, it would be a very attractive offer, believe me. When you've lived by faith and you've been serving in missions and doing mission work with no salary or very little, I tell you, it will be very attractive. So, this guy kept refusing. They added more money and added more money. And the more money they added, he kept refusing. And you know what he then said? When they offered him even larger money, he said, oh, the salary is big enough, but the job isn't. Hello? The salary is big enough, but the job isn't. Why did I raise this up? If you're working in any place, it does not matter how much you earn in that place. If there's no opportunity for your light to shine through in that place, the salary for that job may be big enough, but that job is not big enough for you. Amen? Okay. Now, shall we look at some examples of work ethics? Okay. Let's look at maybe a little list of, work ethics. For that of the employer is to provide a safe work environment for his staff and employees. Okay? To provide a safe work environment. We've seen things that have, happened in this country where some employers have compromised the safety of their staff with tragic consequences. Look at the one that happened on the rail line, a few years ago. And just, they're countless. Oh, look at those, Chinese people that died. That died because of greedy employers who didn't think anything about the safety of the people serving, working for them. The cockle pickers. And we are to provide a safe work environment for people that are working for us and to treat employees with dignity and respect. To treat employees with dignity and respect. In this country, as in many other parts of the world, a lot of women are getting a raw deal in their place of work. They are brilliant, qualified to serve in the highest place. In some cases, the boys gang up and just make the ladies, tea girls. No dignity whatsoever. Or even the comments that are made. The sort of language that people use in the place of work. And this is not only for females. Even racist, things. And when you say racism, it's not about white against blacks. Even amongst Nigerians. The Igbos against the Yorubas, the Yorubas against the Hausas. The Kisi against the Kikuyus, and the Luos against the Kisi. It's all over the place. You get it? The tall against the short against the fat, and the thing, So it's all over the place. And what does that say? What is it all about? Simply trying to put people down for you to get an advantage over them. It is unethical. Very unethical. To provide a fair wage for the services rendered. Not where a woman being paid less because it's a woman or because you are of a particular race, you are being paid less. You have to be more qualified for somebody from another place to do that kind of job, and then when you're doing that job, you're still paid less than the person who, we have to have a fair wage. And the Bible commands that employers should pay their employees a fair wage. Not only paying a fair wage, but to pay it promptly. You don't hold back the wages of the people serving you. Oh, well, if I pay this money out now, I could be losing out, This money can sit here and I can accumulate more interest, or I can do a quick deal here and get some more money and I'll pay this person, No. You know what? Some of us even do it from stores that we buy things from. You order something from a place, you don't wait. I mean, you don't pay for it. You wait for the 28-day notice to come. After the 28-day notice comes, you still wait for another notice. Until then, the other red letter comes saying that they may want to hand it over to the bailiffs to quickly pay. Together, because you want your money to work more for you. It is unethical. When you buy something, pay the right price for it. Or you go to a place, you look at somebody, because the person is poor, you price down what they are selling. You know, there are so many things we do that are not, you know, ethical. Employ people, pay them a fair wage, and handle all business transactions with integrity and honesty. Every business transaction must be handled with integrity and honesty. And you know, when that doesn't happen, you know what? Many people, many of your employees or people serving your own company suffer. Is that not one of the cries we're hearing today about the big supermarkets? How they're not paying a fair, you know, rate for the products that they're buying, and many farmers and their families are suffering. Is that not the case? That is all over the place. You know, and then when a business is not run with integrity, many lives are jeopardized because that business can easily go bust. I know of one. I mean, a multi-billion, you know, naira, you know, company, you know, in Nigeria, doing so well, and because of some shoddy deal on the part of the owner of that company, the whole thing fell. Compromised on the quality of materials for doing this. Cut corners here, cut corners there. Lives were lost, and many families lost their livelihood. Ephesians 6 verse 9, you know, says that, you know, okay, let's just move on, okay. Let me look at the one for employees to show up on time. Hello? Show up on time. I love what Bill Wilson said in the Metro Ministries in New York. He said that in their own ministry, there nobody phones in sick. Nobody should phone in sick. Rather, crawl in sick. Amen. So don't phone in sick, crawl in sick. Because so much help is always needed in that very work. But showing up on time in our place of work is so important. Remember, they are contracted hours. And when we don't do that, we are shortchanging our employees. To tend to company business for the whole time while at work. You don't use the company time, the time that you've been contracted to work, or are paid for. You don't use that time to do your own private business. If you want to do your private business, use your break time. And then don't use company resources for that anyway. But in every place, find out what the policy is. In fact, in some places, in a lot of workplaces now, you have the you know, rules that governs how you use the company material. Phones, the computer, the internet, you know, and the rest of it. We really have to check that. You know, and some people actually steal not only time from the companies, but even vital information about knowledge of, you know, things that they're doing that should be kept in the company. You know, a kind of industrial espionage, you know, and that is being practiced. You know, to treat the company's resources, equipment, and products with care is your responsibility to find out what the role is in your place. To give respect to the company, that means honesty and integrity in everything we do. And the Bible speaks to the employees. You know, I think Pastor Roland has already alluded to that, not eye service. So you slaves must obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. So try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Obey them willingly because of your reverent fear of the Lord. You know, work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. we should serve as though we are serving the Lord. And he will give us an inheritance. The scripture says, if you have not been faithful in another man's business, how will yours be given to you? Can you see that? Because of bad attitude, not serving ethically, not serving with honesty and integrity, we are holding back our own promotions. We are holding back God's own blessings upon our own lives. So let's serve as unto the Lord. The people that we are working under or serving, or the government may even peg your salary increase by 0.1%, you know, or 10% below the rate of inflation, you know, but you are not serving them, you are serving God. And the Lord himself will bring his own promotion upon your own life in due time. Amen. By God's grace, next week, we will look at, you know, some of the things that really hinders us from serving ethically. Amen. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Thank you.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.